but talk. We left coffee.
Your people can beat my people.
I'm in the book, honey. All right. All right, hey, okay. Hey, it's 38 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Here broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Thank you for coming along, making it a part of your listening day. It's 503-733-2970 today. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Or again, the phone lines are open, as they say. 503-733-2970. If the phone takes a long time to answer, it's because Sarah's doing her nails and can't be bothered to actually pick up the phone and speak to anybody. It's okay.
Oh, funny guy. Oh,
like I'm lying. Like I'm making it up.
Well, it has to be done. She's in television.
You're going to wave at the camera. Sarah Dillon. And then just like you sort of turn and, hi.
Oh, God.
Hi there. I'm perky and unthreatening.
Unless it's a hand model.
All right. 503-733-2970. We are now 16 days away. 16. That's one and a six. 16 days away. I like the open weeping that begins as I say that, where Sarah just sort of slumps in her seat and begins to sob uncontrollably. 16 days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party number nine. I'm incapable of saying it any other way. That happens Thursday, April 20th, Sabala's Mount Tabor, 49th, and Hawthorne. It's our first party back since we were off the air. That's going to be huge. Huge! Biggest, baddest, boldest, best thing ever. And we have a big announcement about that coming up today. We have our first major announcement about the listener party. That's coming up later on today. And again, we are 16 days away from that. Thursday, April 20th. Sabala's Mount Tabor, right there in 49th and Hawthorne. And also today, and this is the other thing. So I got a big announcement we're going to make today. And then today, we got to start talking about the name, too, because we're, I mean, like the day after tomorrow, what's today, Tuesday? So Thursday, we're going to be two weeks out from it. I'm just going to start saying those things to watch Sarah twitch. About 2 weeks away.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No pressure. So we got to come up with a name. Do not call with the name now. I got that big stack of email over here, like 50 different emails, people emailing it with names for the party. So we will talk about that later in the 1 o'clock hour. The 1 o'clock hour, we will talk about prospective names for Listener Party 9, which is coming up 16 days from now. And again, we'll have an announcement about that party coming up this hour. This hour as well, we have geek news, and we got like 5 geek watches. Excuse the geek watches, because it's been backed up. Backed up like some sort of non-digestible fibrous item in your colon. It's like 1, 2, 3, I think at least 4 geek stories, perhaps 5. We're going to try to get to those today. And we've got hazing news. Hazing news and a sorority girl in the studio to talk about it. Jim Roop is going to be here from Los Angeles later on to talk about hazing rules they're passing down there. Lisa Goddard's going to talk about the slow, delightful, delicious implosion of Tom DeLay. And Gary Baumgarten is going to be joining us later on. And he will be talking about a thing that seemed really compelling this morning when I circled his name, and now it's gone, and I can't possibly remember what it is, although I'm sure Katie Couric, which is a fantastic... It must have been impressive. It slipped out of my brain like it was made out of banana peels. Katie Couric's apparently going to be taking some... CBS is saved, basically.
Her 8x10 will be hanging in every station in this land.
They'll be booking her for like a 90-second guest phoner any day now.
Get ready for the personality call.
I'm supposed to... where I will effuse glowingly about her skills as a... news. I can't even say it with a straight face. It's a news anchor. Fantastic. That's all coming up. Your phone calls and so forth. We played the Three Little Pigs song yesterday for our listener Jessica, the one who provided us with this chair. And then I got this email today. She's not even there. It was her birthday. She works at some company. I don't know what company you work for where your birthday is like a paid vacation day. She apparently, she works for the state or something. She must. Because she was gone yesterday. So I get this email. We'll read it later. That you weren't even around when I played the song. And we've got this. I've got this National Enquirer. I went through yesterday. Because this Whitney Houston story is like 14 pages long. So I just went through and I selected the most salient segments, which I will share with you today, including, let me just read you some sample phrases. Some of these you heard yesterday, but I just have to scary without her false teeth. Adult diaper. Repeatedly soiled. Sex-crazed monster. That's Whitney Houston news. We'll get to that later on. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon. Can you even turn on the microphone?
Oh, hi.
I'm sorry, do you have to do everything with your chin over there? All right. What color are you applying to your nails today?
Well, you know, I'm a little ghetto. I have like the little acrylic nails that I haven't done.
Did you get those done on Stark?
No, I got them done on Hawthorne.
Uh-huh. Where? How far up Hawthorne?
About 30, like 4.
Oh, okay. So you got them done by... So you could still smell the things remembered, incense blowing across the street, too?
Yes.
So you didn't get them done, like, in my neighborhood?
No, not...
Like, right next to the...
I would never go to your neighborhood.
Thank you. So you didn't get them done right next to the... We will give you a cash advance on your car title place. That's the business I'm going to be in. This whole radio thing flames out. I'm going to open up one of those check cashing places, and I'm going to hire Richie Bristol to put on a spongy outfit outside. And he's just going to stand there dressed as, doesn't even matter. What are you dressed? I'm dressed as a giant sperm whale. Doesn't matter what it is. Just put on some sort of outfit made of latex and wave at cars. That's where all the money is now.
A waving loan form.
That's all it is, man. It ought to, you know, you've seen the clientele of this place. I'll just be a big spongy crack vial. That's all. It's just some guy dressed as a huge bass pipe. Come on in. you know it's true. But you're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed 2 days in a row. How was your... Now, was it yesterday or today that you had to go shoot the thing for coin?
Oh, God, it was yesterday.
This is the new show. Intro segment that people see on... Wait, don't tell me. Hold on.
Good night, Oregon.
No, it's Wake Up, Oregon. Oh. That's what it is, right?
No, it's not like the experience itself was bad. The makeup artist got her styling tips from, like, 1987. She did my makeup full-on thick brown eyeshadow.
She kind of looks like this.
You got the Whitney Houston look.
Yeah, it was from the base of my eyelashes all the way up to my eyebrows in black. Or like dark brown eyeshadow.
Did she want you to sing Mammy afterwards?
And she looked so normal. Uh-huh. I mean, I really had faith in her, and she let me down.
No. How old is she?
She was like, I don't know, like late 30s or 20s.
Well, she has no excuse then.
Yeah, she had no excuse, and she was normal looking. So
maybe she'll try to get you to wear white denim jeans next. I hear that that's back in. MSNBC swears to God. So are we going to be, when will we be able to see that?
I don't know. I think they're going to get it on pretty quick there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they need something.
Yes. Here's... At the city desk, preparing the following stories for your edification, here's Tim Riley.
But we've been giving them more publicity than they've been able to buy in years on this program alone.
It'll be like that Steve guy. We'll have doubled their audience to 10.
Well, it's...
I didn't say that. Go ahead, Tim.
I think you did.
No.
It's finally time to say goodbye to Tom DeLay, but wait till we're sure that plane takes off for the final time and he doesn't come back.
Fantastic.
Publicists are cranking out Tom Cruise stories at an alarming rate. Therefore, the PR people working for Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, and Madonna struggling to keep up. And a woman is bound, robbed, and stepped into an ATM machine.
I can't top it.
It's not Whitney Houston.
Our feel-good news for the day. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2. I'm no one to talk. We were talking about the show where Sarah's wearing... Oh, how can I put this? Sarah's got a lot of clothing. I've been to Sarah's place, and I've seen... I haven't been inside. Well, I've only been... I've been in your bedroom that one time when I was dressing for the last party, and you and your sister... We're changing. It was something where you and your sister were changing clothes in the living room, so I was obliged to change clothes in your bedroom, or there was a mirror, a full-length mirror. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's clothes. I mean, you own, to no one's surprise, you own... I mean, you own all the clothes, basically. They're all there. It's... I mean, the amount of textiles in your house is staggering.
I own a few clothes.
But I'm saying, but now, you've moved into such a small place now.
I moved into... Well, I moved from a studio apartment that was basically like a three-room apartment all by myself. To a 10-by-10 room.
So now you're only able to access about 5% of your clothing at any time because the rest of it's just too far back, buried in a closet.
I just had to shove it all in so tightly because nothing, you know, else would fit in the closet.
Yeah.
That so, I just keep wearing the same
thing
over.
So you're wearing the same five things over and over again. See, and I'm doing the same thing. I don't know if this is a whole fashion discussion, but my point is that because I'm bicycling in a lot, but I don't want to be all wrinkly. And it's like, Lara, God bless her, she bought me this thing from, like, REI or... What it is something, it was like, but it's a thing that goes, like if you bicycle, it's a thing that you can put a button-down shirt in and it supposedly keeps it unwrinkled. It keeps it ironed.
Like one of those pizza boxes.
Kind of like that, inside a bike bag. But it kind of half works, kind of half doesn't. And so on days when I know I'm going to have to meet with somebody who could fire me, I wear something that can't be like today. So today I'm wearing a sweater. Why? Because I thought today was a department head meeting. Of course it wasn't. So I wear the sweater, but I only got like two of these. I got like two pullovers, and I got a button down, and that's about it. So now I got to figure out what to wear tomorrow, because you don't want to be the one guy in the room who looks like you slept in a dumpster all night.
Chris,
so
they know us. They hired us. We all look like we slept in dumpsters, except for Tim.
So now he comes from, like in Tannisborn, I get the feeling that they just dry clean you every time you enter or leave that place. Every time you're coming in and out of that city, they just stop you, and they're all, pardon me, sir, let me owe you. Monsieur has a little lint. And it's like the guy in the bathroom who wants to turn on the tap for you. There's a guy standing at the Tannisborn city limits who gives you a mint and just polishes your shoes right before you leave that suburb.
Well, by the time I get on the max, there's nobody there. To sit next to me to wrinkle my clothes.
So anyway, so I got to... we're behind. We got to go. We don't have to go anywhere. We have to go to the city desk.
Yeah. From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Dun, dun, dun. Succumbing to scandal, former House Minority Leader, Majority Leader Tom DeLay said today he's resigning from Congress in the face of a tough re-election race, closing out a career that blended unflinching conservatism with bare-knuckle political style. I think I could have won the seat, but it would have been nasty. It would have cost a fortune to do it, says the Texas Republican first elected in 1984. President Bush said today that DeLay had informed him his decision Monday afternoon. I wish him the best, said the president.
Who? Said the president. They'll wish him the best.
Yeah.
Wish him the best isn't even, like, he's not even completing the sentence, right? Because the sentence is, wish you the best in all future career endeavors and opportunities. That's not even that. It's just like, you know, I wish you the best. And it's done. He's gone.
Congressman DeLay says he is looking forward to his life after politics in many, many ways.
I'm going to play golf next week. I'm going to enjoy my grandson and my wife.
First time they've seen him since the wedding night.
He is from the South.
Congressman DeLay says he plans to stay involved in working for conservative causes outside of Congress.
I'm going to look at my options. I haven't even thought about what I'm going to do in the future.
Not very many.
I will start working with my friends in the conservative movement, see where I can be helpful.
Oh, yeah, they'll return your phone calls.
I'm kind of excited about developing a strategy to grow the majority in the House.
It means nothing, nothing. No one's going to call you back. You're going to die penniless and alone. That's what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
And I'm
sure Fox can put him on some show.
There's nobody, not even Ann Coulter, is going to call you back. He's not going to be. And listen to how he's. This is what every guy says who's been fired who has nothing.
I'm going to look at my options.
You have no options. You have nothing.
I'm going to look at my options.
There's nothing to do. You're just going to go home, and you're going to be the guy in the garage playing with the train set at the age of 60. That's what you are.
President Bush says the Republican Party won't be hurt by DeLay's departure.
My own judgment is that our party will continue to succeed because we're the party of ideas.
Doesn't even mention DeLay's name.
Who? It's on. Just, you know, that's one of those, you know, the thing about the Republicans, although the Democrats are no slouches on turning their backs. Do you see how already nobody's talking to, what's her name, Cynthia McKinney?
Yeah.
They've already just, you know, Cynthia. No, that doesn't ring any bell. Like, her and Nancy Pelosi are already not speaking. She's already, it's like you go to lunch and you come back and there's the guy scraping your name off. Scraping your name off the door to your office. It's your voicemail. It's like you come back with your little access card. It doesn't work on the door. None of your codes for your voicemail are functional.
And then, whatever happened to Howard Dean?
Howard Dean, I saw him the other day.
What's he doing?
I was imagining that. No? Wait? Or did I? I don't know.
I was looking back at some old videos when Howard Dean was here.
Oh, I miss Howard Dean.
Anyway, he was enormously popular, but once you went a block below PSU...
Oh, you mean here in Portland?
Yeah, he was here.
Well, he's, the kids love him.
Yeah.
The kids and me. And you, probably.
Yep.
We all loved Howard Dean, because he's crazy. And that before the Scream, he was crazy.
I know. We also took part in kind of the downfall of
Howard Dean. I don't have any problem with that. I feel okay about that.
We lost to Scream.
Well, no, it's the American people who did it. Well, we can break up.
The Scream. Okay, here, let me demonstrate the omnipresence of that Howard Dean Scream. All right, you out there. I need the Howard Dean Scream, and I need it in wave format, not MP3.
Please.
Immediately. Do it now. as E.G. Marshall would say in Creepshow. Do it now. Yes, I need the Howard Dean scream, please. Someone out there as a wave file. Thank you very much. That is all. So here's the thing, is that, what was I saying? Oh, but the kids, they just loved him because Howard Dean was just, the kids love bomb throwers. That's the same reason that all the conservative kids love Reagan and Ann Coulter and all those people so much. They love anybody who's just going to go out and jam a fork in somebody's eye. And that's what Dean was all about. I saw him about 3 weeks ago, actually. And he was talking about, because the Republicans have been putting out all those talking points about how the Democrats seem very brittle and angry. And Dean, to his credit, just runs right into that. He's just, you know, he's just the whole, you're damn right, we're angry. Wah! You know, and then he throws a spear at somebody. And that's his whole thing. Gingrich, of all people, though. That's another guy, because Gingrich is sort of the Republican answer to Dean in many ways. But Gingrich, I saw Gingrich last week. He was at talking in the Washington Post, I think, did a big piece with Gingrich, where he was talking about how all the Democrats need to do. Newt Gingrich is saying this. He was saying that the Democrats, all they need to do, that their political slogan for OA just needs to be like, have you had enough? Like, are you sick of this crap? So that's Dean's not going anywhere. He's there. He's going to be back in a big way in the campaign. I'm telling you right now.
Well, signaling possible further changes to his staff, the president said that he looks forward to recommendations from his new chief of staff on how to get the White House to function in an effective way. I told Josh he will organize the White House in such a way that he is comfortable and will meet my needs, said the president. So more people are on the way out, apparently.
I'm sorry, I wasn't even listening to what? He's doing something?
He's going to reorganize the White House, throw some more people out.
Okay.
Meanwhile, let's get back to immigration. That's a hot topic issue.
Can we please?
Yes, we can.
All right.
And we're going to bring back our favorite politician from yesterday, Arlen Specter.
The curiously southern Arlen Specter.
No, he's the senator from Pennsylvania.
I know.
The honorable gentleman.
I'm saying.
From
I'm
southern Pennsylvania.
And he sounds like he's sucking down a mint julep somewhere.
Well, this new immigration bill contains a number of border security provisions.
We have a virtual fence, which means that we have sensors and providing for overhead observation. We have doubled the number of border agents. We have increased the people at points of entry.
Specter said there are penalties for employers who hire illegal aliens.
There are very tough penalties which increase up to $20,000 per alien, depending on how many offenses there are on the hiring of illegal aliens.
Is someone different playing Arlen Specter today? He sounds entirely different. Now he kind of sounded southern yesterday. Now he doesn't even sound southern so much as he sounds like he's stuffed full of graham crackers.
We have a virtual fence. We have a virtual fence, which means that we have sensors and providing.
And there's
for
like some weird, again with the weird noises in the background.
We have double.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, I wouldn't even listen in there. What is it? We're building a wall or something?
No, we're not building anything. We can keep coming through here.
All right.
And penalize the employers. Hank Williams Jr. surrendered to police today on a warrant issued by an alleged assault on a hotel waitress last month. A charge his publicist claim is driven by greed. Holly Hornbeek. Wasn't she in the news last week?
I'm sorry, I forgot that was her name. Oh, man.
Wasn't she
that
in the
was,
news?
Boy, that was like, I got ambushed there. I completely. I'm sorry, I lost my professionalism there for a minute. Clearly, I'm not network material. I forgot that was her name. We had this story last week. We had talked about her.
Yeah.
And then I just sort of flushed the story, like out of my temp file in my head. I just flushed the cash.
Had to bring it back.
And I forgot that her name was Holly Hornbeek. Jesus.
Well, Holly Hornbeek, who's 19, told police she was waiting on tables at the Peabody's Hotel lobby bar March 19th when the country superstar asked to kiss her and then lifted her off the ground in a chokehold. Sounds like a Charlie Daniels kind of thing.
Seriously.
No charges
they like it that way
were issued in the case until an arrest warrant was taken out Monday. And a release headline, Hank Jr.'s victim of greed. Publicist Kurt Webster said today that Williams received a March 21st letter from Hornbeek's lawyer seeking out outlandish amount of money. Webster contended Hornbeek decided to press charges because Williams refused to meet those demands.
Okay.
The singer cut short a hunting trip to return to Memphis to consider surrendering to the sheriff's department. I have nothing to say.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't contribute anymore because I'm not going to be able to keep it together. Holly
Hornbeek.
Holly Hornbeek. I don't even know, like, in my own head. I'm sorry, that was an accident. I swear to God, I didn't mean to do that. I was just trying to load it in. Hold on. All right, now it doesn't, it won't load it. I swear to God, we have a piece of software here called the Cardomatic.
I'm sure we all have one at home.
And just like the one, yes. And it doesn't want to load it into the Cardomatic for some reason because of the sample rate. But it'll play it like right out of the folder. I know this doesn't mean anything to anybody at home.
No.
So I do.
So just leave the folder open.
I'm going to leave the folder open. I won't be able to play it the way I play the normal hotkeys. But it does seem to be. Thank you.
Oh,
and
I
that's from, that's from
nostalgic.
Matt. That is from Matt, Harpold, who sent that to me.
Not Matt Hornbeak.
Not Matt Hornbeak. I don't even know, like, in my head, what a woman named Holly Hornbeak does. I think I just spoke in iambic pentameter there. I don't know in my head what a woman named Holly Hornbeak does.
She could be very beaky.
She sounds like a waitress.
She was a waitress, wasn't she?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, anyway, but that's it. She's, like, in my head, Holly Hornbeak is like she's the main character in, like, a children's novel or something, or she's, like, in a movie with talking animals.
Holly Hornbeak.
She could be a goose, maybe.
No, bad highlights, bad perm.
Really?
Yeah.
Blue plate special.
Isn't that a poem? You know, blah, you know, blah,
I'm not
blah,
aware
blah.
Of any Holly Hornbeak poems.
Holly Hornbeak, that's my name. No, that's Robin Redbreast. There's that poem about the bird. Let's move on.
No, I don't think so. Well, it's time for the obligatory Tom Cruise stories, not one but two.
God damn. Oh, God. Look, we all just cringe. Everybody in America cringes.
Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have decided on a name for their child.
Nutty.
However, the couple will not reveal what they're going to call their firstborn, which is due any day now.
How about Beardy?
The actor who's been promoting his new movie, Mission Impossible 3, also confirmed to a newspaper in the country that he will wed the former Dawson's Creek star this summer. He revealed, I won't let this woman get away.
I'm telling you, she's somewhere duct taped with like a guy outside who has orders to kill.
But anyway, Cruise, who's a devout Scientologist, is trying to help the process on its way by serving up red hot curries to his beloved every night. It is a popular myth that spicy food can bring on labor due to its ingredients. Story number two. As superstar Tom Cruise awaits the arrival of his first child with bride-to-be Katie Holmes, as well as his highly anticipated blockbuster.
Highly anticipated.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mission Impossible 3. Uh-huh. He gets candid about his dyslexia, his volatile relationship.
His what?
Dyslexia?
Tell me you're actually having trouble pronouncing dyslexia, because that's fantastic.
It is. His volatile relationship with his father and his own childhood.
Oh, God.
No really close friends.
Home! I have no home! Tell me this is the part where...
This is from Parade Magazine.
Of course. Well, where else are you going to do that? Tell me that this is the part in the movie promotion process where he trots out the obligatory sad anecdote about his life or his family or whatever. Yeah.
I was always the new kid with the wrong shoes. The wrong accent.
Thank you.
I didn't have a friend in the world to share things with or confide in. Tom reveals that his father was also someone he was unable to turn to. He was a bully and a coward, like the coward of the county.
Yes.
He was the person where if something goes wrong, they will kick you. The A-lister also opens up about his battle and recalls how perplexing it was for him to receive the diagnosis on his dyslexia. The school took me to a psychiatrist to get tested, he said. They said, he's... I'm labeled. They put me into confusion. It is an absolute affront to my identity.
I feel the same way.
I've got to figure this out. What's normal? Am I normal? Who's to say what's normal? I don't understand what normal is. This doesn't make sense.
All right. Thank you. It's 503-733. Let's break. 2970. For the love of God.
We're going to visit John Stamos coming up. Lindsay Lohan. Paris Hilton.
You sound a lot like the Hee-Haw
Madonna
right here. You really sound like the...
And Jessica Simpson.
Tonight's guest, John Stamos, Lindsay Lohan, Buck Owens, and the Buckaroos. All right. Stay there. It's 503-733-2970. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard coming up. And we have questions about Sarah's coin intro that she filmed this morning. We'll get to those. Later on, we talk about Listener Party 9. We need a name for it, so be thinking. Don't be calling, but be thinking. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Baby born without a neck.
baby boomer without an X?
Not a baby. No. I'll post it later. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 right here on Johnson 970. Thank you for coming by. Later on today, we'll be talking to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. He's going to talk about hazing fun at America's universities. We're also going to talk about Rick Emerson Listener Party 9. Well, we'll do the announcement here in a few minutes. And then coming up like at the 1 o'clock hour, we got to figure out a name for it. We can't keep calling it Party 9. We're now 16 days away from that. 16 days away. Listener Party 9 happening Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalas Mount Tabor. On 49th and Hawthorne. We'll be talking more about that as time goes on. And I got to get to this. We got this Whitney Houston news to get to as well, et cetera, et cetera. Especially the part about her having no teeth. And the weird thing about her having no teeth is, I guess it's just that. I guess really anything beyond that is just gravy. Well, we'll get to it. We had that story yesterday about the sadomasochistic dungeon where the voluntary castrations happened.
Yeah.
So I've got some photos now from the story. They're not of anything involving the said castration. They are disturbing nonetheless, though.
Just pictures of the real estate itself.
Pardon me. No. Unless by real estate you mean a bare-buttocked man in a hood.
That would be personal.
If that's what you mean, then yes, we do have estate photos.
That would be personal property.
Okay. I'm sorry. No, I officially, that has to, thank you. That officially, I called for a Z. Oh, and a guy sent us a supplemental Z sounder. And his email says, this is simply for you to annoy Sarah with. So we'll play the supplemental Z sounder.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now, live from the Hill in Washington, D.C., CNN radio correspondent, listen to that theme, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys?
We are rolling along being the broadcast professionals that the whole world knows us to be, Lisa.
I'm glad to hear it. I would expect nothing less.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a bad day in a bad year for Tom DeLay.
That's right.
Boy, so this, I mean, everybody kind of had to see this coming, right? This is sort of the inevitable end game to this whole sorry scenario he's found himself in.
Yeah, or just the end,
yes.
Really. you know, we don't know for sure that it's the end of the entire scenario, but we do know it's the end of his congressional career for at least the foreseeable future.
Right. And we heard President Bush was talking this morning, and Bush was sort of, I don't even think he used his name. I think he was sort of, it was already, the distancing has begun. And DeLay was, I don't know whether, maybe he knows something, I don't know, but it sounds like he was deep into the self-denial today, the delusion, because he was talking about working within the party to rebuild it and help it maintain its strength and whatever. And it seems to me like it's going to be hard for him to get any phone calls returned for the next year or so.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because apparently his plans are to move to Alexandria, Virginia, and perhaps be some kind of lobbyist or advocate for conservative causes. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that goes. But the truth is, on the House side, a lot of Republicans are doing a really interesting dance today, talking to them behind the scenes. A lot of them, on the record, are really embracing DeLay, praising him, saying it's a sad day. But then that sad day comment sort of allows them to transition into the but, you know, distancing themselves, saying, but a congressman must be responsible for what happens in their office, alluding to the now two staffers, perhaps more, that have been connected to DeLay, who have been connected also to Jack Abramoff and lobbying scandals. So folks here on the Hill are still praising DeLay as a congressman, but they are saying that he made this decision because he thought he just could not win his race. Democrats are saying he made the decision because he was really becoming an albatross around Republicans' necks.
Well, and the theory is, right, that he was facing such tough competition that is why that he just buckled under and started taking this money in what is, I mean, because he hasn't been convicted of anything, and these are all still allegations, I would imagine. But
he hasn't been charged really with anything in connection with the lobbying scandal itself. He has been charged with, indicted on counts of, I believe it's conspiracy and fraud, dealing with election violations. That's a whole separate issue. But when you're dealing with money and with the trips that he took, for instance, golfing trips to Scotland, those sorts of things, we know he was on those trips, but we don't have any evidence connecting him to an exchange on that deal, exchanging a vote, for example, for those trips. But some staffers, just last week, one of his staffers former deputy chief of staff, admitted to accepting cash to try and influence votes. So this scandal gets closer and closer to Tom DeLay, and it's become more and more of a problem in his election. And he, I guess, just looked at the numbers and said, there's no way I can win, and I'm out.
Do you, to what degree, and this is wildly speculative, of course, but to what degree do you suppose he just didn't want to have to go through what undoubtedly would have been a very, very brass-knuckled and mudslinging campaign versus some sort of back-channel pressure from the White House that, like, you know, you have got to get away from us until this is taken care of?
You know, I think that Tom DeLay is used to some tough fights. That's what he's known for. He's known for the brass knuckles. He, in fact, I think, likes some of those tough fights. I don't think that he backed down because of that. I think he's really used to that kind of pressure. But I think he was under other pressure from especially Republicans in the House. They are worried about losing their leadership completely, about losing the House. And they don't need, first of all, to lose Tom DeLay's seat, but they also don't need to have Tom DeLay being brought up again and again as someone that they are still running for office. So they really are trying to cut their losses here and keep every seat that they can because it is that close in the House. They are really nervous. In fact, I talked to one chief of staff the other day who said, you know, the truth is I'm starting to worry about who I would fire because they would lose so much of their staff if they lost the majority. So these are folks that are nervous about their jobs. They're nervous about losing the House, and that is the pressure that was on Tom DeLay.
You know, it doesn't help, by the way, that he took a mugshot at posing like he was going to be on American Idol. I think that's probably what infuriated so many people who already disliked that guy.
You know, how about that? It didn't really look like a real person, exactly.
It really did look that I've done nothing wrong. You can't possibly get me on anything. The mugshot itself really just did seem like a huge bullseye. At least I felt that way.
Like a television anchorman.
That's really
posing
really
for the evening newscast.
Good morning, Akron. All right. Lisa Goddard, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, there you go. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard right there on the Hill. It's 503-733-2970. See, that was a good solid 8 out of 10 today right there with Lisa.
Yep.
I didn't say anything awkward. There were no uncomfortable silences.
You're trying too hard.
I'm not trying too hard.
You sounded very credible.
I sounded like I wasn't trying too hard. I was trying to show her that not only is Rick Emerson a funny fellow, mm-hmm. not only am I amusing.
He's well-informed.
I'm well-informed, I am well-spoken on the issues, and I'm able to discuss things with a depth and breadth that maybe she's not expecting from a guy on a station called The Johnson.
No.
So, you know.
You know, I think you've lost her. Sorry.
Why you got to throw cold water on a brother's dreams
like that?
Because,
you know what, you're trying to win her by acting like everybody else, when in fact she said the thing that made you special was because you weren't.
What, so tomorrow I should be like a lot of flatulence
in
the background?
Yeah, why don't you be all kooky tomorrow?
Tomorrow
see what
just,
happens.
Tomorrow I should just make a lot of it. Hey, what are you wearing out there? Yeah. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, we're all curious about what John Stamos is up to, aren't we?
He's no Holly Hornbeak.
Following a successful guest at this season that nobody apparently saw.
What, does everybody have had? Is our guest shot on you? You've had yours.
I was dead.
You're a corpse. I think in the future, everybody will be on ER for 15 minutes. I didn't even know that show was still on the air.
Yeah, it's kind of forgotten about. Anyway, he's going to join the cast of ER as a regular in the fall.
Lucky us. Maybe I'll have to start watching again.
He'll reprise his role as Tony Gates. He's a letritious paramedic.
Is he diagnosed with letritiousness?
I don't know.
I think the word is probably flirtatious.
You know, I think you're correct. This is
going to
be one of those days for me. He's also a medical student and a Gulf War veteran on this program. He first played the character in two episodes that aired during the November sweeps. The casting is formally a second position to his already big comedy, Jake in Progress, which aired only one episode this season.
So it's not really sort of a trend that he's on the comeback or anything. It's...
But Jake in Progress wasn't a bad
one thing. Episode?
Only one, yeah.
Whatever. All right. We've got this. Rick. Sarah recording her coin promo. We have to know more. And this is, by the way, here's some advice we got yesterday. Now, this is, for those of you who don't know, Sarah does the traffic on Wake Up Oregon.
Yes.
On Coin 6 in the morning.
Coin News 6.
Coin News 6.
They changed the name of that and confused everyone. It used to be Coin 6 News, and then they started calling it Coin News 6 and lost all their viewers.
The elderly women don't know where to go anymore.
No.
The, she had to re-record or refilm. It was like an opening montage of it's like you and the other guy and smiling guy and everybody on that show, whoever they are.
So I had to go and film by myself. Well, it was kind of exciting because I got to meet all of the, you know, big anchor. I got to meet Jeff Gianola.
Now, have you never met those guys?
No.
How is that possible?
They work at night.
Yeah, because I'm out of there by 8 a.m.
Don't you have staff meetings or like all staff meetings?
Well, not technically a COIN employee.
Oh, because you
work
through Metro. Yeah, okay. But
yeah.
I mean, still, I mean, it's
plus
like,
they haven't had an entire staff of management there for the longest.
It's just whoever. It's like whoever they can get to come in that day from the day for the job for a day company.
Yeah.
It's like you get that postcard in the mail. Would you like to pick up plywood or perhaps host news on COIN 6?
They're always free donuts. They're posted on telephone poles on Hawthorne, and you rip off the phone number and call from a payphone.
The truck will be stopping at the corner of 39th and Gladstone this morning at 8 a.m. You're right between two groundskeepers named Hector. I kid.
Anyone I work with, I'm not saying anything.
No, it's okay. Anyway, but this is sort of the montage of little things at the beginning where everybody turns to the camera and goes,
winks or smiles.
Annette, you know, or whatever, like, right? Where they
introduce
them.
Yeah, start out, like, looking down at the ground, and
or,
they'd
or
be like,
tips their hats.
Go!
So is that what it is? So this, how... So they
filmed
the
camera, this big swingy thing.
Against a green screen?
No, it's in the studio.
Okay. And so you are standing there wearing what? Was it what you had yesterday, your black sweater?
Yeah, I had my black sweater.
It's a nice outfit.
Yeah,
and so, okay, now I have to ask this because I'm never going to see it because I don't watch. So, I hate to sound crass about this, but clearly it is television. So when they film you and you're wearing a tight sweater, is it like a neck up shot or is it like a chest up shot or waist up or?
Well, since I didn't get the memo before I left, I was still wearing my jeans because I
right.
Rode the bus down.
Did they give you a talking to? It's not Casual Friday.
No, I told them. I told them, you know, like I have the same shirt I wore on the air this morning, but I'm wearing jeans, so they just filmed me from the waist up.
Okay, all right.
So they cut off the jeans.
Okay, so
technically you could wear shorts or no shoes and socks.
Exactly.
On TV. Nobody would know.
Anyway, and so this is a little montage where you. So what is it? You start looking at the ground, and then do you look up at the camera and smile?
Yes.
And do you look straight ahead, or do you turn to the left? Or right.
I turned. Well, the camera was moving, so I looked at it.
And then you followed
it. And then
it?
Had to follow it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And you smile.
Yes.
Okay. So listen, here is some advice we got for you yesterday. I have a chance
okay.
to read this. Sarah recording her promo is an excellent opportunity to give a little shout out to the listeners. You. There's two ways we didn't get this. You should take suggestions of subtle movements Sarah can make in her intro shot, a la Carol Burnett's ear tug. Perhaps she can lick her lips or twirl her hair and her fingers all coy-like. Or maybe she can just...
Maybe Jeff Gianola could do that.
Maybe. I don't think he can.
Oh.
You'd be twirling your... twirling all the hair at once there. Maybe she can just mouth the words... box full of fetuses or something like that. Also, can you put her intro on the web once it's made so listeners who don't wake up until 11 can actually see it? That's from Todd the Corpse. I love the idea of you looking at the camera being all box full of fetuses.
No, and plus it's going to be terrible because the makeup woman, the makeup woman like doubled the size of my eyebrows.
Have you got those huge, mommy dearest eyebrows where they're all like crazy? And
the shiny pink lip gloss, like gave me Brooke Shields eyebrows and like brown eyeshadow all the way up. And they were frustrated because they had to wait for me for so long, so I didn't have time to fix it. So I had to go out to film the promo in all of this terrible
makeup.
You're
going to look like you
like
just walked up the set of...
big brown eyes like Japanese anime.
I look like a drag queen.
You're just like you walked up the set of Dynasty. Did they give you shoulder pads, too? That's fantastic. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up next, a charming animal story. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
You're probably wondering what...
I can't wait. Here's the thing is, I'm going to watch it now. I'm going to have to.
We've
I can't
given
wait
them so much free
they're
publicity
gonna, their
the
cum
show.
Is going to be like through the roof.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hey, here's Tim Riley.
Well, we're all wondering what Lindsay Lohan is up to.
All right.
She has jumped on the Kabbalah bandwagon. The 19-year-old has admitted flirting with the religion. And
you can't flirt with a religion.
Apparently that's what she's doing.
All right.
She's joining celebrities such as Madonna and Britney Spears in doing so. Yes, I'm looking into Kabbalah. We all need to look at something, don't we? The teen actress says it is tough by nature in Hollywood and led her to seek salvation in the mystical religion, an offshoot of Judaism.
Uh-huh.
She said maybe it's the business, but it seems everybody's getting into Kabbalah lately. And why not?
Okay.
Okay, we'll do.
I've got all of this all of this email about Wake Up Oregon coming in. Apparently more people watch it, at least three.
I think we've gotten them a lot more viewers this week.
It really is true.
I mean, when
I can't repeat some of these on the air.
Oh, really? Are they mean?
No. Let's see. Kristen in accounting says, don't laugh about the old women. It's true. They call all the time looking for shows, not realizing they need to turn on the television first. Yeah, that's continuing that Hallmark CBS tradition of getting to, like, the 75 to dead demographic. I mean, I think the deal with old women is at any given time, they just tune on expecting Matlock. That's the whole deal. Like, if they tune on and it's not Father Dowling Mysteries or Dick Van Dyke, they're just...
Or MacGyver.
They're horribly confused by the whole thing. Oh.
So you can't read the other emails?
Well, let me read a couple of them. Let's see. Oh, this one's, Rick, isn't about time to bite the bullet and make a cruise watch. I have thought about that, by the way, about making a cruise watch. I don't even know what the theme would be. Let's see. Rick, after searching all around coin.com, there is absolutely no information or even recognition that Wake Up Oregon even exists. Apparently not even the station is aware that this show is on. Let's look right now.
They probably used up all their bandwidth for the month.
That GeoCities account doesn't want to host any more data.
Oh, it's a chuckle fest.
All right, sorry. I don't mean to, I kid. All right, hold on. I'm going to coin.com right now. Let's see. Boy, you know what? Wait, programming. Here we go.
Okay, programming.
It's probably on.
We're in programming mode.
All right, we're in the Bold and the Beautiful. No? Oh, no, this is the TV guide. No, this is the TV guide. Yeah. This is the wrong site.
It's the wrong
site. Okay, here we go. On coin.
On coin. That should tell you something.
Family connection. Ski report. Coin is hiring.
Imagine that.
Let's see. Coin.
I'm not even listed on there.
Coin team.
I used to be
Look
listed on there.
Reporters.
Really? Did you used to be listed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
They may be trying to punish you for some reason.
I can't imagine how you would have displeased them. All right.
I can't believe they deleted me.
Yeah.
We'll have to call up and find out why.
What can you...
Coin News 6 team, and I'm not on there.
You're
morning team.
You're on the JV team now. there doesn't appear to be any program called... Sarah, are you sure you go to work in the morning? You're not just dreaming this. You're not like John Candy in that Delirious film, are you? You're just... Well, I'm sure
I wrote out a bio and everything. It used to be on there.
Well,
I remember that.
I'm sure it doesn't mean anything. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
No,
they were able to put the new guy on there.
Janitor. Here's Tim Riley, the city desk.
Well, Madonna released details of her new international confessions tour, promising to turn the world into one big dance floor. But controversy has been sunk by reports that British fans will pay, well, at least $350 American for the ticket.
For Madonna tickets?
Yeah. Even though the cheapest seats will be around $180. Now, here, they begin at $90. And I guess if you're a member of a fan club, they're having a pre-sale today starting at 90.
Now, is it 90? Where is she playing? Is she playing in Portland?
No, she's not. The closest place will be Vegas, I believe. And she's playing in Irvine.
All right. And so $90 is like a general admission?
Yeah. So they go on sale to the general public Saturday.
I hate to say this. It makes me sound like a tool. But I might actually pay that because I've never seen her. And, you know, eventually she's going to die. Or just cash it in. She'll be like Lonnie Anderson. Just keep going robotically. But I've never seen her. Sarah's cell phone is ringing.
I think that's a call from Coin 6.
Oh, God.
We're going to need to see you after the show. No, but here's the thing about Madonna. At least she's out on a strong album right now.
Yeah.
Because Confessions on the Dance Floor is, I mean, it's a really good album. It's a really good album.
The video's good.
And, you know, she had that American. Did she even put out anything after American Life?
No.
So it went from American Life to this?
Yeah, she fell off the horse, remember?
Yeah, but I mean, she didn't put out anything between.
She took a little break after that.
Oh, because I remember when I heard Hung Up, which is that first single, that's one of the best songs she's ever done.
Uh-huh.
So I would, you know, and she plays in Vegas, and Lauren and I actually, we're going to Vegas sometime. We're going to Vegas sometime this summer. Sometime this spring, summer. We're going to try to.
She's
going to
be there Memorial Day weekend at the MGM.
Yeah, maybe. I'll see if I can do that. I would, she's somebody I'd like to see. I've never seen her. I'd do that. All right.
So that's that.
Okay.
Australian director Robert Lukaitis
has pulled out of the big screen remake of Dallas.
Damn.
Based on the 1980s series, it was set to star John Travolta as G.R. Ewing, J-Lo as Sue Ellen, Luke Wilson as Bobby, and Shirley MacLaine as Miss Ellie. Nobody knows what high-profile actor upset him, but his abrupt exit from the project has forced producers to search for a replacement ahead of the October shooting.
I really quit listening as soon as you were talking about, like,
Jessica Simpson will start in a remake of Baywatch. The actress will play a sexy lifeguard for the film version for the hit 90s show.
Are we remaking things that are still on the air? Isn't Baywatch still on the air somewhere? Aren't they still...
I think reruns are still on USA or something.
In Austria or something? They've got to be filming new episodes.
No, it's a big hit in Yugoslavia and Albania right
the
now.
The most watched show in the history of the world, by the way, uh-huh. Baywatch is. The most...
What's going on
it's
here?
It's like the third phone call.
Fourth floor.
Hold on, let's listen in.
All right, let's do that.
I just got one from Squid saying that I've been off there for 5 months.
Oh.
And then Kristen said, you know, I noticed they took you off the website. I thought it was one too many vodkas.
She's the only one worth being on there.
Nobody told you. That's the best part about broadcasting.
That kind of hurts.
No, the best.
Don't worry about it.
This is the best.
You're much better than they are.
This is the best part of the broadcasting world. This is totally emblematic of broadcasting, where they all knew you were gone from the website but didn't tell you. Because that's sort of like the, look, Rick, I'm going to tell you something about Max, but I don't want you to tell anybody else until 2 o'clock. That's completely what that is. All right. All right. Let's do one more, and then we'll break. Here's what's coming up next hour. We got to talk about Listener Party 9. We have to talk about Listener Party 9. Now, it's 16 days away. That's a short 16 days from now. Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalas, Mount Tabor, 49th and 9th. I never did make the big announcement. Let me do that right now. Do we have, hold on, let me find my announcement noise. All right. So coming up Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalas, Mount Tabor, 49th and Hawthorne, Rick Emerson, Listener Party 9, and coming up at 1 o'clock, or shortly thereafter, after we do the City Desk, we will talk about the party name. We will be attempting to name that party. That's coming up, so don't call quite yet, but we'll take your calls and emails and so forth later on. I do have this announcement to make, though. The headlining act, in addition to us, obviously, the musical act. We have now confirmed this. We have confirmed it. This is booked. This is a done deal, as they say. They are locked, loaded, ready to launch and roll. Listener Party 9, coming up 16 days from now, Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., Sabalas, Mount Tabor, will be headlined by the act formerly known, the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. Which is fantastic, because I got to tell you, even without having announced that, even without hinting at it, I got like 40 emails already just from dudes who are like, you got to have the Bigger Than Jesus House Band rock, you know, and then they sign off with like a bunch of devil horns in ASCII art. So they're, you know, and Bigger Than Jesus, that's done, it's finished, it's in the can, it's wrapped. But I got to tell you, anybody who went to our release party in December, that is one of the most amazing bands that has ever been put together anywhere. Sarah, you saw it. You're not technically speaking, you're not even in the demo. And they were amazing.
No, but they're incredible because they're so spot on the people, on like the bands are trying to impersonate.
Exactly.
It's just freaky, like the Ozzy Osbourne guy.
Because it's going to be the band, and of course, the big deal with Bigger Than Jesus was we had a series of rotating vocalists. We have our good friend Jarris, who does a fantastic Ozzy. You know, we had John Hughes, who did an amazing Axl Rose. He did an amazing Hetfield. Jesse Cunningham did a fantastic Alice Cooper. They did one of the best covers of Talk Dirty to Me that I've ever heard in my life, and I'm a gigantic Poison fan, as you know. So they did a fantastic set in December, and they are going to be performing. They're going to be rocking the house, as it were, at Listener Party 9, which is coming up Thursday, April 20th, Sabalas, Mount Tabor. Now, this is not going to happen today or later this week, probably next week. But we are going to have to come up with a suitably rocking name for them, because I think they have moved on from being, they're Bigger Than Jesus. They will always be the Bigger Than Jesus house band to me. But that project is, it's not finished, but it's finished as far as kind of a Portland locality is concerned, because it's going through legal right now, and it's going to film festivals and all that stuff. So, but we're going to try to find a suitably rock name for those guys, and that'll be sometime next week. But the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, they are going to be playing now later this week, Thursday, as a matter of fact, is the day we're going to be able to do it. Thursday, so do not call about this yet, but Thursday, we will be having y'all out there help us compile the set list. That's the really amazing thing about it, is you, the people, because this, of course, is of, by, and for the people. because you are, you know, the reason we're here, the reason we're back, the reason we're getting to do this party. On Thursday, we will have y'all weigh in and help compile and create the set list for the band. So whatever they're playing, whatever they're going to bust out, whatever songs they're going to perform at the party, you are going to help create that set list this Thursday on the show. So be listening for that later on in the week. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll come back. When we come back, more party stuff because it's 16 days away. We got to talk about the name. We got to come up with a name. Hopefully today, who knows? We got to try to come up with a name for Listener Party 9. It's coming up 16 days from now, 7 p.m. Thursday, April 20th, of all this month, April. So you stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. The Rick Emerson Show continues next. Coming up next hour, Gary Baumgarten talking about Katie Couric. Later on, Jim Roop about hazing. And Whitney Houston has no teeth. Stay there.